Podcastlandia. I am here today for some Winter Iron chat with Riot and Stella. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, hello, thank you.
Fantastic. Well, we'll start off the way that we always do with fandom origin stories. Stella, would you get us kicked off?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So I guess if we're talking about like the very first time that I ever was part of a fandom or wrote fan fiction, it would probably be for Smallville. When I was like 10 or 11, maybe. And at that time, I didn't understand fandom spaces. I didn't know anything. The only thing I knew was that there was this thing called Quizilla, where people would write fan fiction as like a quiz that you could take. So that was the very first time that I ever wrote something and posted it online, was for Lex Luthor and female original character at like 10 years old.
Totally fair.
It was not great.
And then, so what transitioned from that to Marvel? Like, where did that, did you go straight from Smallville to Marvel, or were there other stops along the way?
You know, I think it was a long time after that before I really seriously attempted to write something that wasn't hot garbage. So I think it was, you know, when the MCU really became a thing, like when Iron Man came out, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I love this character so much, but there was never like, I have to write about him. It wasn't until The Winter Soldier came out that my brain latched on to, you know, Bucky Barnes. And I was like, wow, this character is incredible. Like, there's so much nuance to him in so few lines. And that was when I was like, okay, I would like to write something. And I think, you know, it's my hypothesis that people, when they start out writing fan fiction, either start out writing like, you know, two characters that already exist, or it's basically a self-insert, because, you know, we want to live in that world. We want to be able to interact with Tony Stark and Bucky Barnes. So that's what I wrote, was Bucky Barnes and basically a self-insert. And that was my first foray into the MCU.
We all get there in our own ways, for sure. And I completely understand with wanting to interact with Tony and Bucky. That's one of the reasons I write them. So I get that completely. Riot, what about you? What's the fandom origin on your end?
Basically, as far as I can remember, like as long as I've loved a TV show, I've been searching down and reading fanfic about it. Like the farthest back I can remember is Digimon. So whatever age I was watching that, that's where I started. That's and amazing. So I've just always been reading fanfic as long as I can remember, basically. I can't get enough of the stories I love. Yeah, I think I got into the MCU probably around the time Avengers came out. I feel like that was the big boom there. I'd seen the movies before that, but that was when I really got into like reading. I didn't write my first fanfic until last year, I think. Year before, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, like I've written, but that was just like stories for me, like original stuff that I never intended to do anything with. But yeah, I read so much fanfic and I was like, it's not enough. I have stories in my head now and I'm going to try writing them. And here I am.
I love it. I think a lot of us resonate with that. Yeah, mine was, I walked out of a movie and was like, oh, I have to fix that. So I think that's really common. So what made you guys land on Winter Iron? I know I have my own emotional thoughts, but I'd love to hear yours. What about this ship works for you?
I really love the parallels of them, of kind of their stories and, you know, the captured and the held against their will and escaping in their own ways. And I really like the dynamics of it. And they're kind of nerds, kind of dry and sarcastic. And actually, it kind of reminds me of, I don't really say this much, but it reminds me of me and my husband. Because I'm like the really, really talkative, sarcastic one. And he's really quiet and he kind of sits in a corner and people are like, does he hate me? And I'm like, no, he just doesn't talk when you're here. He never shuts up when it's us.
Mr. Flame is a little bit quieter in groups of people, but if you get about three beers in him, you are never, ever going to shut him up. So I,
yeah,
I get that completely. And then he never stops talking to me. So I get that dynamic completely. Mm-hmm. Stella, what about you? What resonates about the boys?
The boys, what can I say about them? They just have my whole heart. Like I loved Bucky in the first Avenger, and then seeing him as the Winter Soldier, just, it was so incredible seeing the differences in those two people. And then, you know, like Riot said, knowing how broken and hurt that they both are and how they can relate to each other through those things, that really appeals to me, because I'm always interested in, you know, if these characters were real people, what would they really be like? You know, how would they interact with each other? What sort of issues would they have? So I think that's my longstanding interest in like who people are, and trying to portray characters through that lens of who are these people. And knowing who Bucky is and who Tony is, it's just so easy for me to picture them, you know, joking and laughing, and Bucky being like, wow, you created this artificial intelligence, and I remember watching your dad's failed car try to fly, and him just being so enthusiastic about this stuff on a level that I think Tony doesn't get from a lot of people. So there's a lot, but it's just like, I just see them working together, you know, just like they click.
I agree. It's interesting. A lot of the stuff that you guys mentioned is very canon-based things. Do you tend to interact with them more in canon or more in alternate universes?
I do more canon, I think, although it's, to be fair, my own version of canon, where it's, I take what I want and I leave what I don't.
I mean, here, let's be really there, honest, the whole point of transformative works is that we cherry pick what we like, but in, mm-hmm. Let me ask the question better. Are you more into writing them as Iron Man and Winter Soldier, or more into writing them as normals? Writing them and reading them and just bringing other elements. Like, for instance, I love taking them and making them royalty AUs or putting them in a coffee shop or things like that. I tend to not write them as Iron Man and Winter Soldier unless it's like a stocking stuffer or something really, really short. If I'm going to do a long form thing, I tend to play with their relationship and their characteristics outside of being Winter Soldier and Iron Man, because I like the challenge of how do we get the fact that both of them have experienced non-consensual body modification and they both understand torture and things like that? How do I do that outside of Winter Soldier and Iron Man? So that's the puzzle I particularly like, I like solving. But I know you guys interact with them more within the canonical form. So that's why I was asking that question.
I've always super loved, I love superheroes. I love any sort of superhero story. I think that's why I tend to stick in canon more, both reading and writing. Is I like superhero AUs in other fandoms were my shit. That was my favorite thing.
Fair enough.
So now I'm like, oh, everything's a superhero AU. It's perfect. I love basically all AUs, but yeah, any superhero story. So I tend to stick to canon the most.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's like I'm usually struck by a mood whenever I want something that's an AU, you know, like I'll be cleaning the house or watching TV or something like that, and my brain will go, oh, you know what we should read Winter Iron, where he's a knight and Tony's a king, and I'm like, yeah, okay, let's read that for next week, and then get really sick of it and then go back to canon. And then we'll go to coffee shop AU.
Your prompts in the servers we are in together are very specific, and I can tell when you are in a mood. Like, I'm like, okay, Stella, okay, I don't think that exists, but let's figure out how to make it exist.
Yeah, that's how my brain goes. My brain is like, I'm going to fixate on this for the next week, and you're just going to have to live with it. I'm like, well, I mean, I love them, so who cares? But I think you also asked, like, as far as us writing them, what we prefer. Is that true? You asked that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. I think I'm, like, trying to think back on everything that I've written. I think 99% of the Winter Iron that I have written is canon stuff. And I think the only one that's not is the Mob AU. I think that sounds right to me. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Riot's nodding and I'm like, yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And then how did, I'm changing gears entirely, but this connects in my brain. When I think about your writing, I read both, like I read independently, but then I'm quite, you know, I know a lot of people are quite caught up in the project you guys are working on together, projects you guys work on together. So what did deciding to collab look like? Was it, you know, you were reading each other's stuff or were you friends in a server? How did this kind of come about?
No, how did we become friends? Tell them.
Oh gosh, I'm both nervous and excited.
Okay, well, it's totally her fault because she wrote amazing Kinktober stuff. And that is how I actually got like really started with Winter Iron, because I was in like a particular mood for something and I stumbled on one of her Kinktober fics and I read it. And then I was like, oh my God, I need to read every other single thing that Riot has ever written. So I think there was probably like a week where I was reading through everything and she was probably being bombarded by comments from me. And then I eventually just like stormed into her DMs and I was like, you are the greatest thing since writing existed. Like, I love this. You've made me love them. And then it was just like, you know, casual conversation. And then I had this idea for something. And I of course had, you know, a porn idea for it. So I sent her porn gifts and I was like, yeah, here, look at this. This is totally, you know, Tony and Becky. And that's how, you know, the friendship became solidified through porn.
The longer I'm in fandom, the more I realize that the fact that Sarah and I are collaborators who did not bond through porn is actually rare, because a lot of other people have. So no shame whatsoever. How do you guys divide? Currently, I know you're dividing kind of the character points of views. Is that on Bound to You? As we record this, Bound to You is still publishing, everybody, and we'll make sure that, I don't know when you're gonna hear this. but, because planning is something that Ferret and I do in spurts, let's just be honest. But how does the negotiation work of who's gonna write who?
I think we figured that out pretty early on when we had the idea. You know, I've always been more comfortable writing Bucky and Steve, I think. Okay. I definitely love Tony, but I don't always feel like I have a good grasp on his sense of humor. I get his like defense mechanisms. But going into it, I started out absolutely adoring the way that Riot writes Tony. And I was like, if she wants to write Bucky, that's totally fine. But I think that's probably a mistake.
We're just going to call a spade.
Not that she wouldn't do it justice, but I was like, she's like brain channeling Tony when she writes. I was like, there's just no way that I could do the kind of justice that she can to Tony.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have our emotional support characters, right? So that's
exactly
that makes sense. It's fascinating the way that people have talked about Winter Iron in particular. So for instance, like I write a lot of ships, I write a lot of Stony and I write a lot of Winter Iron. And I find it really hard to write Steve, which is why you'll find so much Bucky in my Stony fix, because it's just he's who makes the most sense to me. And so he's who I throw in a lot. But in terms of people writing Winter Iron, like for instance, I talked to Tisfin and Dragons last season, and they mentioned that to them, it made sense because both of them are so like female coded in a way to them, that it, especially to Tis, that it felt easy to put herself in the shoes of both of them in how they are treated within canon and how they are treated even within fanon. And I see thoughtful expressions and a little bit of nodding, listeners. I get the gift of their videos on in this interview. You are so jealous and you should be. But does that resonate with you, or do you see them in a different direction?
It does. I've definitely seen like, you know, posts and theories about that going around, and I definitely agree with a lot of it, like a lot of the loss of control. And, you know, not having any choice in their life and just kind of having to go along and hide their emotions. I think that definitely connects with me as a lady person on Earth.
Yes. Yeah. A lady person on Earth. I appreciate how you said that. Yes. I resonate a lot with it. So
Yeah, I do think it's kind of funny that you said you put a lot of Bucky in your Stony fix, because I can't let him in my Stony fix. Otherwise, I'm just like, and then him and Tony run off together and Steve is sad at the end.
That's funny. Yeah, no, they're just, he's always the best friend in some way that works really, really well. And I like, because I like smushing all of them together with other people. So that helps. So like last summer, I wrote a Stony fic where Bucky was in, was kind of dating Sam and then ended up in a polycule with Sam and Sharon. And that was fun to play with. So I'm happy to smush them with other people. I just wrote a Winter Iron where Steve is with Sam. There's always Sam too. Sam always appears. I have that luxury because I like smushing them with others. But my default is at least two of the three of them in some sort of happily ever after. If someone commissions me to write another ship component, the other two of them are going to be in love, and that's just how this works. So, that's fair. But that's a lot of me talking. I'd love to, what else, do you guys have any other thoughts on Winter Iron? Any thoughts on either Tony or Bucky that you'd like to share with our folks?
I think the art got me. That's my note on Winter Iron.
Ooh, interesting. Any specific art?
I'm not entirely sure how it's pronounced. Bear?
Oh, yes. I think it's beer based on... they were an artist of ours last season. I keep wanting to say last semester as though I'm still in grad school. Last season. And I believe they said beer, but I will double check that, folks. And it'll be in the intro or outro to this episode.
Perfect, because I realize I've never said it out loud and I only say it in my head and I have no idea if it's right. I saw their art and I was like, oh, that's a thought. And then it just kind of lodged and stuck and mutated.
Understandable. Stella, what about yourself?
Goodness. I think for me, I love them so much because those are the two characters that out of the entire MCU, I love who they are as people, like as characters. Even though Bucky doesn't get a lot of talking time, I think it's something like 14 minutes in total in the whole MCU or something like that. It's ridiculous. But it definitely goes back to the fact that Seb is such an amazing actor and really dug into those nuances of Bucky and like just like the micro expressions and the tiny little, you know, emotional bits that he puts into the scenes, like in Civil War, when Tony's watching the video of his parents being murdered by Bucky, Bucky's in the background crying. Like you can see the tears in his eyes. And for me, that's just, it's so good. You know, it's so, I love
that. You would say
that,
you angst monster.
Yeah, I would say that. And then I would follow it up with, but how do we make it worse?
are we different people?
Yeah, I see. That's why I like things like dark licorice and dark chocolate. I like that bitterness, which is why I like these two, because they are, you know, they are kind of dark and twisty on the inside and Tony puts up a really good mask. But you know, there's still that trauma and that pain that he's been through multiple times, starting from childhood. You know, I think for me, that's the appeal, is seeing these characters that have gone through so much and come out the other side, regardless of whether or not that happened in canon, which we don't accept. but at least in my fic, they usually come out happy on the other end.
I think the idea of redemption arcs too is a huge part of why we all, whether redemption from internal or external forces, is one of the reasons we all love superhero stuff, because they have, at the core of the superhero things that we love, they're still like deeply, deeply human. And they have all of this, like all of these messy bits. Like I know Glenn Weldon has done, as a comic scholar, done a lot of work on Batman and Superman and kind of what they mean in the American psyche, and how they've come to represent specific pieces of American humanity culture. And I think, and he's not a huge Marvel guy, and so I doubt he'll ever do it with Iron Man, but like, I would love that kind of deep dive into into Iron Man and into Tony and into all the various ways that he is portrayed, not only in comics and in the cartoons, but in the MCU, and specifically what Downey brought to it. Because I think we can all, so much of the tragic backstory is Downey just not acting at all. I think we can all just kind of see him being Tony, and that's a huge part of the mythos of the MCU. But it makes complete sense to me that kind of mutual tragedy and potential is what really draws you guys to this as you're talking. Like they have these things that are very, very parallel, and they both have the strength to overcome them, but oh my God, isn't it so much more delicious when they do it together?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that's why I get why people don't like the ship, and I totally respect that. But for me, it is definitely about like Tony learning to accept the fact that, you know, Bucky killed his parents. He did that. Like, even if he was brainwashed, it was his hands that did it. And learning to say, okay, that happened, but it wasn't him, and I do forgive him. And like, if you parallel it to something in your life, if somebody did something that was horrible and painful to you, can you move past that? Can you learn to forgive them? Do you want to forgive them? And I think that's kind of why, like with canon, I get so frustrated, because like Bucky never got that chance to talk to Tony. Like, he never got the chance to say, you know, I'm sorry, there was all the bullshit of Civil War and then everything with Thanos, and then Tony dies, and it's like, so there's no resolution to that, which I think is why it keeps drawing me back. You know, I want that resolution. I want them to heal together and learn to overcome that tragedy.
Yeah, I resonate with that as well. Even if it's tragedy I create in my alternate universes, it is the overcoming of it is the part that I love the best. And it's a different dynamic than in Stoney. It's definitely present in Stuckoni. I love playing with that, the idea of all three of them coming over, overcoming it in canonical Stuckoni. But I've said it before on the pod. If you haven't listened to the pod before, then this is a common theme, but I say it all the time that my favorite thing about all of these multifaceted characters is that different relationships bring out different pieces of them in different combinations. And so I think Tony gets to be a different kind of vulnerable in Winter Iron than he gets to be in Iron Strange or in Stoney. Or in Frost Iron. Like there's vulnerabilities in all of them that he has to learn to deal with. But the Bucky doesn't kind of come with the same bravado that the other three come with, that he has to peel back first. And so it's the same kind of, I should say. So it's fascinating and such a gift. This fandom is such a gift that we get to play with all of these idiots in so many different combinations.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think you're right in the way that certain characters interact with each other is completely different than how they do with other ones. Like, I always see Steve and Tony as being more combative, you know, because Steve is more rigid, and I mean that's how people tend to write him, and I do that too. But it's like Bucky is a lot more easygoing. It's just like, okay, dude, go with the flow. You're being weird right now about having to be in your shop for the next 6 days. So cool, I'll bring you pizza. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, all right, dude, whatever. I see Bucky as someone that you could get high with, and Steve that he would just want to like sit and have a terrible Sam Adams beer, you know, like.
I think we imprint so much of Chris Evans's terrible tastes in food and beer onto Steve. Every time I see Chris Evans with a Heineken in his hand, I'm like, boy, let me free you. Like, oh, stop being such a Boston boy. Yeah.
Oh God, I know.
Personal choices. No shade on anyone who likes Heineken, but Lord God, I can give you better.
Oh, I know.
Well, if that is so rich, and I know we could go on forever, but I'm incredibly mindful of your time. You've been gracious enough to give me time on one of your weekends. I want to let you guys back to your lives. So unless you have anything else that you'd like to say to our listeners, we can say thanks so much and we'll talk later. Anything else, ladies, or is that a close?
I don't have anything. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was a joy. Stella, anything from your...
I guess just like thank you to Riot for writing incredible fic and getting me into this ship. And then, you know, of course, thank you to all of the people that have read Bound to You and my stuff and Riot stuff and support us, because I mean, at the end of the day, like, that's what fandom is supporting each other. And it feels amazing. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that Riot and I, like, first thing in the morning, we're texting and it's like, did you see the latest comment? Yes, I'm crying right now. Like, it's amazing. It's such a wonderful feeling. And for it to be this ship in particular is just, it's wonderful. I love it so much. So thank you to everyone.
My gosh, I can't think of a better way to end. We'll have links in the show notes to both Riot and Stella's AO3s, to the Bound to You series we've talked about, and to the, I will also link a couple of the Discord servers that Stella and I are in together. So if you want to see her very picky brain, you can see it as well. It's a delight. She's also a great purveyor of visual porn. So if you are a visual stills porn person, we'll make sure that you know what's going on down there too. This has been a top to bottom delight. Thank you so, so much for your time, ladies. It's been a great gift, and we will see you all, listeners, in the comments or on the server.